CliffCentral.com.
You did it. You got through the weekend and you're in one piece. This is very impressive. We have a full show for you this morning. We've got Leanne Mole and Mash and me, and we're all live. We're here for you this Monday morning. It is the last Monday of August.
Finally.
Finally. Yes, I know. I feel the same way. August has rolled round and done its thing, and it is on its way out. So, September looms on the horizon. Are you ready for September? Are you ready for the last few months of the year? Because honestly, from here on in, there's no way that it doesn't get better. It's the greatest time.
I'm excited to just put on my shortest shorts and just run around and just put on a Speedo, just swim and just live my best life. I am so excited.
I know. I'm feeling it. I'm definitely, you know, like the trend goes. This is a bikini body.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm just so excited. Haven't gymmed this whole winter. Haven't gymmed too much, but I'm looking forward to it.
You're just gonna do it anyway. You're gonna go like, I don't care if I don't look good enough for you. I look good enough for me.
Yes.
Right.
But you know what's the worst thing, especially when sharing pictures on social media in your bikini or in your Speedo, is when you share images and instead of saying, oh, you're so hot, you're so beautiful, wow, we just wanna bang you, whatever, people's response is, you're so brave. You are so brave. Look at you. Oh, I've had that before myself. So,
so brave. Yeah,
it hurts. It does hurt. But just keep it moving. And I'm going to post again this year. Every year I post, I'm told I'm brave. This is the year where it all changes.
Oh, that's hilarious. You're brave. I remember once being offered years ago to become a plus size model.
Oh no, really?
Ah.
See, how do you take that? Because
it was very difficult at the time.
Yeah.
But now, looking at, you know, how things have changed, how perceptions have changed, how acceptance has changed, plus size models are the thing. Jeez, they're the ones making all the money. Yeah.
You were just ahead of the curve, Leanne.
The curve.
Yeah, the curve.
I'm ahead of the curves.
Yeah.
How you feel, Gareth.
Yeah, I don't need to say anything at this point. I really don't.
How was your birthday weekend?
Yeah.
It was good, actually. Well, okay, so Friday was very chilled. I had a lovely lunch, and then I had a lovely dinner that night. Family. It was very, very cool. So that was really nice and mostly quite kind of relaxed and appropriate to being extremely, exceedingly old, which is what I am now. And then, jeez. Yeah, and then Saturday.
Why don't you just stop breathing while you're at it?
Shut up, Miss Havisham. Don't forget, Leanne, this is what you get to look forward to. And then Saturday, I just took very, very easy. I didn't do very much during the day. And Saturday night, went out for dinner with some friends and ended up going for drinks afterwards. And that was good fun. It was lovely. And I got to see quite a few people. So yeah, all in all, not bad.
It sounds like vibes.
Yeah. Not bad.
But it's a very Jogue weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, anything that's entertaining in Jogue has to involve drinking or eating.
Absolutely.
It's like there's no like going to the beach or going on a hike or looking at a mountain.
Who wants to go on a hike?
Quite I mean, sad.
Who would do that for a birthday weekend, go on a hike? What a stupid thing to do.
Me?
You would?
And things work differently.
I would do that.
Things work differently in nature. Yeah.
Yes, it really is a vibe. You just want to escape it every now and then and not just have cocktails and mimosas and breakfast and brunch every single Saturday.
We've got a comment here from Carl. He says, that's all I want is the mental image of Mash in a banana hammock. There goes breakfast. Thanks.
Well, it is on Twitter, so you can actually look at it.
Now he's actually advertising. My mulberry tree is budding, and for the last 12 years, once the leaves pop open, cold fronts are history. So let's see. Ooh. Yeah, I don't think... I mean, especially if you consider how warm it was during the day on Friday and Saturday and yesterday. It doesn't feel to me like it's, you know, it's still going to be cold and shitty. I think that's done. The Anne's opening up her phone to check the weather app. This is how you know someone's old.
Mm-hmm. Time for the weather, yeah, Cliff Central.
Okay, here's, here is the weather brought to you by Leanne Moll.
Ba-bum.
Go for it. Give us the weather.
It's looking good, folks. Looking good out here in Johannesburg. We've got suns. See the little suns on, on the screen? So many suns. All That's the nice. Way down.
The temperature keeps going up.
It's beautiful. If you were to get, have a swimming party Sunday, this coming Sunday would be the best day for that.
Okay. What are we looking at?
Balmy 11 degrees, ending up at 26 later on. But for instance, today we're 9 and 23. It's fantastic.
Okay.
It is pretty warm. I'm wearing a t-shirt, by the way. I'm just wearing a t-shirt
Look
today.
Look at you. Look
so
at
it
you
is
having a go.
Working.
Okay. All right, so tell us, Mash. Apparently, when we're talking about the weather, frolicking in the rain is now what? It's not woke to be frolicking in the rain. This is not something you should do.
So apparently, frolicking in the rain is now racist because it used to be something specifically reserved for black people. But my question is, first of all, which black people were doing this? Because maybe I didn't get the memo. Maybe I was actually kicked out of this one. But so Demi Lovato this past week posted a picture. Was it Demi Lovato?
No, not Demi Lovato.
Oh, I keep confusing their names.
Drew Barrymore.
Why did I say Demi Lovato?
Very similar.
So Drew Barrymore posted a picture of herself actually frolicking in the rain. It wasn't even hectic rain. It was more like a slightly medium drizzle. And she was just enjoying herself in the rain. Took a video of herself doing that, posted it, and then the woke side of social media came along and said, listen, this is racist. This is something that black people do. You're actually appropriating things that black people do. And I was like, firstly, which black people? And that's exactly the same sentiments that the whole of Twitter shared. They're like, which black people are you talking about? Because none of us do this, number one, and we don't want to do this.
No, it's insane. I mean, firstly, Drew Barrymore is like the least antagonistic person ever. She doesn't get involved in politics and, you know, anything that's controversial. She avoids that completely. And she was innocently running around. I don't know if it looked like a bit of a greenhouse or a courtyard or a garden with the rain splashing onto her face and onto her glasses and said, you know, this is like life. This is what we should be doing. When you have the chance to go out and stand in the rain, do it. It was one girl in particular on TikTok who duetted the video and said she went on a long rant and it was very, very boring. And not everyone's actually watched it.
Yeah.
They've watched the reactions to it, which are summaries, which is a lot better. Saying this girl just didn't make sense at all. Like, where was she coming with this? So now everyone's come out and said, you know, fight for Drew Barrymore. Be on her side.
Oh, God, really?
She must be sitting at home going, what the
She's
hell?
She's just
happened?
Confused.
Yeah.
She is just confused. And that's just the age we're living in currently, an age of where everything has to have labels and everything has to belong to a certain group of people. And certain groups of people are excluded from judgment of certain things. Well, others have to be judged for certain things, and it's just ridiculous.
Well, I just got to say,
I think that girl needs a head read.
I just saw a picture of the girl who is supposedly like accusing Drew Barrymore of racism, and I mean, she doesn't look like a happy person. Of course, she isn't. We could have guessed this, right? We would have known she was not a happy person from the get go. You had to just like spend 5 seconds thinking about it. Like, what kind of person is so miserable that they would actually have a problem with someone else just having fun in the rain. clearly this is someone who's got a miserable, horrible life. And if you see her, she's like one of those typical kind of super angry, like people who've had an unhappy childhood, or they don't have any love in their life or whatever. Mm-hmm. You could see it straight away. Look at the glasses. Those give it away. And that piercing.
Those glasses give it away.
The piercing on the bottom lip, that's also, you just see, oh boy, that's an angry bitch. That is an angry bitch.
Yeah. I mean, just the gloss, the necktie on the glasses just gives it all away.
Yeah. That's that.
Gives it all away.
That string. It's like, she looks, that's what you call a black Karen, that.
Mm-hmm.
That is.
She looks like she's ready to fight the world.
And I mean, what kind of a person? I mean, here's Drew Barrymore, who's like, she's had a really bizarre life, right? She was an ET when she was like 5 years old. She comes from this Hollywood kind of royalty family, but she's had drug problems in her life. She doesn't strike me as someone who goes out of her way to cause trouble. As Leanne said, she's like just this.
No, I mean, she's got her own show now, which is so innocent and just interviewing other people. I don't know. But, you know, whether this girl had a hard life before or not, geez, people are laying into her now. I don't know. She's probably going to go very silent and just have to process everything unless she lashes out again. Who knows?
Parallel Parking
Hopefully
says
she does go silent.
What I've always thought, like, woke people, please kill yourselves. Suicide was designed for you. Thank you. I couldn't agree more. Like, just get yourself out of the way. Yeah. Just kill yourselves. Nobody loves you. Just die. Go and kill yourselves. We would all be much happier.
Oh my God.
I'm totally with that.
Parallel
Parking and I are like, please do it, because nobody loves you and we're not going to change. And you might as well just jump.
As soon as you said, just kill yourself, it just went out.
Did you kill yourself?
Just jump off. Just jump off a high building or something. So just do that for me, please.
Wow.
No, actually, don't do that, because if you do that, you might land on someone underneath who doesn't deserve it. Rather, just take like a. You probably have a drawer full of antidepressants anyway. Just OD on those, and then do us all a favor, huh?
That'd oh my nice. God!
There, I said it.
I don't wish that on anyone.
That is wild.
It's weird. Lintigan says, weird how white woke people try to tell black people how to think. We have one here in South Africa. She's called Helen Zilla. You could call Helen Zilla a lot of things, Lintigan, but I don't think you call her woke. That she is not.
Yeah.
You know, I remember.
That's a bit talk.
I remember about 5 years ago, there was this person, she was a sexologist, Dr. Eve, I think, and she was in an interview with me, and she said to me, oh, Gareth, you're not woke. And I said then to her, I said, thank you very much. If I were woke, I would kill myself. The word I said to her at that time. And she was horrified. She was like, why wouldn't you want to be? Like, this is why. Now you got me. Anyway,
the woke. Woke are just exhausting, especially on social media.
Totally exhausting. Anyway, you have to say unalive yourself so that the algorithm doesn't cancel you. Oh, right. That's a good point.
That's right.
Oh,
okay.
Yes. Makes sense.
Okay.
I think speaking of being canceled,
I think the glasses string thing, which Mash has already pointed to, is also appropriation. I've only ever seen old white women wear those. That's true.
I used to have those. My previous classes had those.
Did you?
Yeah, it was a trend amongst men as well, especially in sport, to wear like Lumo thicker ones that looked like shoelaces.
Yes.
Was that a thing?
Story of my life.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. It was like, for quite some time.
Okay.
It's like cricketers.
All right, I had it in high school and I was very popular.
So apparently also it is now illegal for anyone under the age of 21 to buy a can of whipped cream. You know, like you buy those cans of whipped cream.
Yes.
That you can put in cakes and things. Now, why would it be illegal? Is it because people are like fat and they're eating it straight out of the can? Is that what it is?
In which country is this?
No, it's like in New York,
it's the
apparently.
US. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
But why is it illegal?
Don't ask me.
Because teenagers are using it to get high.
What?
Not the actual whipped cream. I can't figure out, but it's the nitrous oxide inside the can, which you inhale.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember people doing it with, back in the day, with hairspray, things like that. I never got into that. Of all the drugs I've been into, that was one thing I didn't really do. So I don't understand specifically how it works. But there have been more and more cases of these kids becoming addicted to this nitrous oxide.
I got you. I know what this is. Okay.
Yeah. So do you know how it works? Do you have to first finish the whipped cream?
No. So
I'm also
what they do in order to create the, because obviously anything that's whipped, anything that's a foam or a kind of a, you know, an aerated gel, which is really what a whipped solution like that is. You need tiny little air bubbles in between all the cream. That's what gives it that whipped texture. So to create that, you need to have something in that can that's pressurized. And the best stuff to put cream into is this N2O, nitrous oxide. You remember that stuff that the dentist used to use to put you under that laughing gas?
Yes.
That's nitrous oxide. So what they do in the whipped cream factory is they put a little bit of the kind of the cream stuff in there. And then what they do, obviously the solvent, the stuff that it's actually dissolved in is nitrous oxide, which is liquid at that temperature in the can. It also creates a nice bit of force so that when you actually press the button on the top, it comes out as this lovely, thick, whipped, and quite cold automatic whipped cream. And it lasts for a long time too. So it's N2O inside, and that's what they're after.
Oh, so my question is, isn't this also available in other aerosols?
Apart
from whipped cream?
Yeah, you could probably get it in a few, but not. I don't think anything else actually uses nitrous oxide. They'll use other gases. They'll use other solvents.
Oh.
So I'm reading now that these gas cartridges are called whippets, according to the Alcohol and Drug Foundation.
Right.
There's a short-lived euphoria, but the drug can also cause loss of blood pressure, fainting, heart attack, and sudden death.
Right.
Potential long-term effects include memory loss and psychosis. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to get those things when you get old, so don't do it now.
Sure.
You'll have it later, naturally.
Yeah. Yeah, one of these days you'll have
speeding things up a bit.
Right, you get plenty of reasons to watch your brain deteriorate. Don't rush to get there, you know.
The memory loss, psychosis, heart attacks, fainting, sudden death, those things all come with age.
Right.
Eventually, just be patient.
You got lots of time for that, you know?
You know, one thing I've always wondered about these people who are addicted to all these weird drugs and weird little, like this nitric oxide and so forth.
Nitrous,
nitrous oxide. My thing is always, why? What are you trying to escape that is actually making you just want to get high and actually risk your life like this?
Oh, but Mash,
trying to escape?
No, this is the key question. I mean, there are people who are addicted to all kinds of things only because those little things give them exactly what you've just hit the nail on the head for. Gives them an escape from their own lives. They're either unhappy, or they're bored, or they're frustrated, or they feel alone, or they, you know, there's something going on in their lives. So again, I have to refer to these famous rat experiments that they did, where they put a whole bunch of rats in cages and gave them plenty of stimulation and space and resources and everything else. They were fine. They never drank the cocaine water. But if you put one rat in a cage on its own, limited space, no company, no stimulation, it goes to the cocaine water every time. So what that proves, what proves that any kind of addiction, alcohol addiction, drugs, nitrous oxide, whatever it might be, it's usually people who are trying to escape. They're trying to get away from the reality because the reality is not a pleasant place for them. So I think that's probably true for a lot of these kids who, you know, in urban areas, they've proven this too.
Mm.
And if you live in cities, you tend to be more unhappy than if you live in the country.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't get a bunch of country kids getting into the whipped cream and crystal meth
right.
and walking around high the whole time.
Right.
There's a channel on social media where this person drives through dodgy areas of the US. I think it's Philadelphia in particular.
Yeah.
And they drive through these really impoverished areas. They're not even residential. They're these kind of empty buildings. It's like a ghost town.
Oof.
And I don't know what drug these people are on. I don't know how crystal meth works and all of that, but it's one of those hardcore drugs. And these people are like walking zombies. And this one... the one side effect is that they're folded over on themselves. So they're standing, but they're leaning forward. Have you seen that, Mash?
I've seen that before. I've seen it on TikTok before. It's the saddest thing. They can barely even function or move. They're just standing there swaying in the street.
It's either fentanyl or it's like tick.
Yeah.
So it's either an opiate or it's a you know, one of those kind of really cheap, nasty crystal meth versions. Horrible.
Yes.
Horrible.
Terrifying. Man. And, you know, personally, I actually did witness such firsthand. Well, for me, it was actually my family and it was my brother. My brother was actually an alcoholic.
Uh-huh.
He got very deep into alcohol, my bigger brother.
Yeah.
Wow. It was so bad that, like, he'd always be on the street. We'd find him on the street every now and then, just laying in the street. Oh, our neighbors would come like, yo, guys, your son is just laying in the street. He's passed out drunk in the afternoon, 12 p.m., 2 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon. And it got worse and worse and worse. And so my parents eventually were just like, listen, dude, you gotta go. This is getting kind of out of hand. Then they shipped him off to one of my aunts in the Free State in Bloemfontein. And he lived there for quite some time, for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Sad part is I actually never talked to him much after that. I never actually got in touch with him because we didn't have much of a relationship, especially after the whole alcoholism and all of that.
Right.
So, yeah, he was there for a couple of years. And one day I just got a call.
Yeah.
From my godmother, actually, not even my mom, my godmother called me. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was home alone. I was actually studying. I was in tertiary and I was visiting home for the June holidays. And my godmother calls and she's like, are you home? I'm like, yes, I'm home. And then she comes through and she arrives and she tells me that, so your brother has actually died.
Oh, Jesus, Mash.
And I was just numb. I was numb for quite some time.
Wow.
And after that, I didn't even ask what happened. So I just thought, oh, he just drank himself to death or something, you know, that's what I assumed.
Yeah.
And I never asked until the following day when my parents actually came home. And that is when they actually told me in person, because they knew I wouldn't take it too well, but they told me in person that no, he actually completed suicide. Okay. And it was just this thing that finally clicked in my head that the alcoholism was actually an escape for him.
Yeah.
It was actually his way of actually coping with whatever he's been dealing with throughout the years. So, yep. That's my sad story for the day.
It's not
the thing for people to say, I know what you feel or I know what you went through. But I had a similar situation with my uncle and I discovered his body in his flat. And it's not from over drinking. It's just, but alcoholism still killed him, whether it was suicide or not. It's that got him to that point.
Yes.
And into that situation. It's very, very sad, man. That's horrible to hear. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry, dude. You know what? There's so many people who are dealing with the same thing. So, by you sharing your story, you know, you might be kind of reminding anybody else of the things that they're all dealing with. Because this is a big problem. And whether it's alcohol or any other substance, there are loads of people who are dealing with this stuff every single day. And once people go down that path, it doesn't matter what they are addicted to. It just, you know, that sometimes they just don't come back. That's the truth.
Yes.
Horrible, man. I'm sorry. That's really, really... Mm. Oh, that's awful. Yeah, Sun Marie says, sorry, Mash, life can be cruel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, mm-hmm. You want some personal stories, you come to the right place. I mean, we don't bugger around here. Do we? Go straight from like whipped cream to like, oh, you know, death in the family. Unbelievable.
So, happy Monday, everyone. You know.
Yeah. Well, let's turn our attention to something else because this week. So I don't know what's going on. I think it's really clear to me that Hollywood is out of ideas. I mean, you know, these Marvel movies, they're all the same, right? They all have the same storyline. Yes. It's always these, either it's the superhero movie or the origin of the superhero movie or all the superheroes in the same movie. They've kind of run out of ideas. Mm. So now they just throw all the special effects they can at it. And now there's a She-Hulk movie because they also they've gone super woke as well. So it's not good enough to just have the superheroes. Now we also have to have the female versions of every superhero. And they're just so lame. Ooh. It is the lamest thing ever. She-Hulk. Okay, first of all, if you see how bad the CGI is on this She-Hulk, I mean, it looks like how a kid would draw a female superhero. It's just so bad.
Oh, no.
And it's called She-Hulk Attorney at Law. Okay, I'll show you a picture of it. It's just, like, it's really bad. She's green. But, like, the Hulk story is half of the reason that the Hulk thing kind of works is because I think a lot of people can kind of understand it, like, really aggressive Jekyll and Hyde. That's where the original story must come from. It's something like the Jekyll and Hyde type story, right? Where you've got this guy who he's this brilliant scientist. He's this extraordinarily clever man. And then when he gets really angry, he turns into the Hulk, which is precisely what the Jekyll and Hyde story originally was. That's where it comes from. And when he's in the Hyde persona, he's this angry, emotional, aggressive man, right? So you can kind of understand if a man is doing that kind of thing. But for a woman to be like really angry and like out of control, and
it doesn't translate very well.
It doesn't make sense, right?
It doesn't.
And apart from it being really bad and really cheesy looking, and it does look so stupid. It's just like, oh no, come on, you guys are pathetic. Anyway, so what they've done now is they've got the She-Hulk. But the real thing I want to talk about here is not just whether She-Hulk is dumb, because it really is. But it's also the idea that they've run out of other ideas as well. So what did they launch last week? House of the Dragon, right? Which is the same guy wrote Game of Thrones. They're now extrapolating Game of Thrones to like before. This is the prequel to Game of Thrones. And we know that they're milking, and Disney's milking the life and soul out of Star Wars. And now this week, I see that they're also launching a Lord of the Rings kind of prequel based on Tolkien's other writings.
Yes, that's right.
So this is something called Rings of Power that they're bringing out this week. So not only have we got House of the Dragon, which is like the prequel to Game of Thrones, now we've got Rings of Power, which is the prequel to Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, we've got the Marvel. It's all the same shit. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm excited to watch House of the Dragon. I haven't seen it yet. Of course, it's going to be awesome.
Same here.
Because it's going to be dragons and, you know, like this medieval kind of thing and huge special effects and amazing stuff. But we know that, like, they can't come up with any new ideas. So they're milking the ones that they know will work. I'm just a little disappointed. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yes. Oh, come on, guys. Is this the best you can do? You know?
Mm. It's what young people are getting into at the moment. It started with the Vampire Diaries years ago. It's all this fantasy stuff. And I did watch, I admittedly watched Stranger Things, but mainly because I liked the flashback to my childhood, because that's the era that I grew up in. Mm. But Gareth, this new Lord of the Rings show is the most expensive show in the history of TV.
Wow.
So for instance, to put things into perspective, Stranger Things, which was heavy on special effects, cost $30 million per episode. That's how much it cost for each episode.
All right.
And was known to be the most expensive show ever. But now this Rings of Power has smashed that out of the water. The new show comes to roughly $715 million, or about 0.15% of Amazon's 2021 revenues.
Yo.
It's a lot of money.
That is insane. And
it's also, to put it into perspective, about one-fifth what New Zealand, where the series was filmed, allocated for its defense budget this year.
It's incredible. Just to make a TV show.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Well, at least
now I actually really want to see it.
Yeah, at least it's Amazon who's making this. They can afford it, right? They're huge, huge, huge multi-billion dollar corporation. So otherwise they wouldn't be able to make this show. Well, that's
cool. And Amazon has been making some really good shows lately. I mean, for example, with The Boys as well. The Boys is also a really good show on Amazon. And I saw season 4 just launched of that. And what I like about The Boys is that unlike your Marvel shows and your Marvel movies, is that the stakes are actually high. People actually die. The heroes actually die or even get hurt.
Yes.
Unlike in Marvel where you know he's going to win. Ooh. You know everything's going to work out in his favor. He doesn't even get a scratch throughout the whole movie.
That's true. Yeah, in The Boys, they do more than scratch. A lot of them just end up as these bloody messes. Very violent. But yeah, I feel like, you know, all the good ideas in making movies and TV are gone. They're just done. Everything is just a rehash of ideas that they know for sure are going to bring box office success. And that's fine. But this is what happens when the stakes are high in terms of box office returns and in terms of having success. You can't take chances. So yeah, they've got to just keep doing stuff that is a guaranteed win. And I suppose, you know, the really big wins of the last 20 or 30 years have been Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, and Marvel. Those are the things that you can bank on because you'll get a return on your money. Mm. So the accountants are like, we'll only sign off on these kinds of things. And, you know, when the accountants take over, the creative people have to go and sit down.
Yes,
that's how it works. Yeah, that's what happens.
Sit down.
The Boys,
it's gotten out of hand.
Jake says The Boys is the craziest show I've ever seen. And then, you know, a lot of people making fun of like this She-Hulk thing. I'm dating a hormonal bipolar woman, and she's like the She-Hulk, but sometimes she's Bruce.
Oh Lord!
And sometimes she's this lovely person, obviously. Rings of Power is actually...
Woman. All women are hormonal, but anyway.
Yeah, I know, but you knew that was going to come up, right? Boiled Prawn Shack says, The Rings of Power is going to be a massive flop, financially and critically. I've been following that production from the start. Massive backlash already for many reasons. Hmm. Yeah, and then someone said, you mentioned The Vampire Diaries. They say, yeah, but that had Nina Dobrev, so that was worth watching. Yeah. Apparently, Jake says they're making a live-action Dungeons & Dragons movie as well. It's clear that creativity is dead in Hollywood. And then there are people like Q Sibanda who says that House of the Dragon is insane. Yeah, I'm not saying it's shit. Mm. I'm just saying it's like it's not very original what they're doing at the moment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like all the Spider-Man movies are great, but just not very original. It's like plenty of them
exactly.
Now.
Wheels of Time on Amazon Prime is also original and good. Wheels of Time.
Yes, I finished that. That's really good.
What is
with
that?
The witches.
What's that all about?
It's all about, was it the witches one? Yeah, it had like all sorts of wizards and all that kind of stuff. It's insane.
Wheel of Time.
Wheel of Time.
Okay.
Yeah, I did finish that. It's really good.
All right. Well, maybe I'll take a look at that too. I'm not saying I'm too good to watch this shit. You know that, right? I'm not saying I'm some kind of art purist who wants like these brilliant.
Yeah.
But honestly, if you do watch some older movies, you'll see like a lot of the stuff is just what we're doing now is just so dumb by comparison. It's just dumb.
It's also, Gareth, I think because it kind of happens when you get older that you've seen it all already. You know, it's the same as fashion. If I look at fashion, it's very easy for me to roll my eyes and say, yeah, you're just copying what we did. And my mom did the same.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same with music.
Yeah. Right.
So you kind of get to an age where you've seen a lot, and that's when it starts getting boring. That's why people have midlife crises and jump out of planes and buy convertibles. It's in order to feel something again.
Rings of Power says that's parallel true. Parking is actually about gay men running for political office. TV ads have long lost their creativity. So has radio. The future is dull, says Propaganda. Viasen says a late morning to everyone. Yes, late morning indeed. All right, let's get to some headlines. Do you want to hear what's going on in the news?
Yes.
First things first, we seek wisdom from Zuma, says the ANC's KZN branch on a visit to Nkandla. The ANC leaders from KwaZulu-Natal are visiting the former president, Jacob Zuma, to seek guidance from him as a former party leader. He's currently serving the remainder of his 15-month prison term at home after being released on medical parole in September last year. The party's new elected leadership, headed by provincial chairperson Sibonelo Duma, said that they've come to seek guidance and wisdom on the former from the former president. They visited Zuma to get
good person to go to
get ideas on how to create unity. They believe Zuma, as a former head of the ANC, should be able to guide them. A few religious leaders were also present, and they went to visit him. He advised them on fundamental issues, including the drive for unity in the party's largest province. We've spoken, among other things, that the issue of nation building needs to be at the top of the agenda, and how to make sure that you transfer back what belongs to the people of KwaZulu-Natal. They're asking a guy who is responsible for stealing everything he could touch and giving it to the Guptas. They're asking him about giving back to the people. Let's see how this
beautiful,
goes.
Beautiful.
Great, right? Good idea.
They want they need advice on how to unite the money of the people of KZN and just put it all in one little Switzerland bank account.
Right.
To send it to Dubai.
Yes, that's the idea. So, Mash, you've got this down. I mean, you know, you understand this perfectly. So do I. I think Leanne does too. We get it. What's wrong with everybody else? Right? Then, did anyone watch the Comrades Marathon yesterday?
No, do people watch that?
Snippets. Who's going to, I don't know anyone personally who's going to sit down and watch the full race.
Yeah, I don't have the time. I just don't have the time. It's great. Called, it's awesome. But
a guy called Tete.
I just don't identify with the runners. But anyway.
A guy called Tete Dijan was the one who won. He's the big winner from South Africa, which is great because usually, you know, there's some foreigner who wins it. And then we're like, oh, no, but that's not right because our guy should be winning. You know how South Africans go. We're like, open this up to the world because let the world come. And then when the world does come and we don't win, we're like, oh, that's not right. But this year we won it fair and square. This is the winner. This is the guy, Tete Dijan. Who is the
winner. You know what I did see was for the first time – the stairs that you have to climb after you've run the Comrades to get out of the stadium.
So cruel.
It's like the ones from Rocky where he's training and he's running up all the stairs up the building. And these runners are holding onto the railing and they're like doing one step and then waiting for 5 minutes and then another step. They can barely bend their legs.
Can you imagine how sore your legs are after that?
Oh.
What the hell was that?
Oh my goodness.
What was that noise?
I would scream. I would absolutely scream. So it was me. So there was a video that was trending yesterday from actually one of the runners from the Comrades Marathon. And I was actually trying to actually hear what he was saying. So he was asked, do you understand? I think he was asked, does he understand Sotho? Because the presenter asked him like, okay, so you understand Sotho, right? And then he said some huge English word. The funniest thing. I'll actually share it with you guys. It was trending yesterday. I was one of the runners. I don't know if it was the winner or not.
Well, here's what you need to know. Tete Dijana was from South Africa, has won the 95th Comrades Marathon. Edward Motibi secured second place. Dan Moselakwe came third. Top five are all South Africans. That's very nice. Dominika Stelmach from Poland is running in the first place in the women's race. Russian Alexandra Morozova is in the second position. The year's race was downhill from Maritzburg to Durban. Motibi was the 2019 winner, but the race was stopped after that due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So we're back. It's live. I don't know why they've moved it, though. It never used to be in August.
That is so odd. Yeah. When was it previously?
I think it was in May. Tracy says, I identify with the runners crawling and falling over. Yes, that's me too. Is the Comrades Marathon still on SABC2? Does SABC2 even exist? Jake wants to know. I don't know either. Carl, listen, I can't.
Actually does.
I've told you.
Nort for Nort still plays.
I can't watch the Comrades Marathon. Even if I did when I was a kid, I never understood why anybody carried on after the winner. After the person has won, everyone else should stop and go home. I've said that a million times. I also don't understand why anyone would want to be in the Comrades beyond like the silver medals. No one cares. No one cares that you did it in 10 hours and 23 minutes. No one.
They don't care that you don't care. They're doing it for themselves.
Yes, I know. But sometimes they need a wake-up call. If you're doing dumb things like running between Maritzburg and Durban when we've invented cars and you're doing it because you think people care, I'm just here to remind you no one cares. So
that is true.
Sometimes you need a voice of sense in all of this. I mean, I know all these people talk about, oh, but it's such an accomplishment and you don't know how hard it is. And yeah, but it's dumb. It's a dumb accomplishment. It's like wrestling with bears or like trying to fight a lion for a piece of antelope thigh. Why would you do something dumb like that? I don't get the Comrades. I don't get it at all. I know there are runners who are going to hate me for this. I could care less. I'd rather be hated by dumb runners than say dumb things. So there we go. Mm. All right. So just a quick bit of info here. Apparently, according to Cassandra, the date is moving back to the original one next year. They just had it in August to speed it up after COVID. All right. Very good. There we go. All right, let's talk to Dr. Hanan. This is something that we do every single Monday, and we're thrilled to have him here this Monday. Hey, Doc, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you? How's your birthday, Gareth?
Excellent. You know, I started off being a little bit miserable about it on the Thursday, really, and then Friday was just so nice. Everybody sent me nice messages. I saw a couple of people that I really care about, family and friends, so I feel good. I feel good about it. Doesn't bother me at all.
I don't pick up my phone on my birthday. Do not do that.
Really?
Nah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you
it's one of those days that I just, yeah.
Is it?
It's the same message all the time. I'm sure you had to repeat the same. How does it feel? Mm-hmm. What does it feel like? Mm-hmm. What did you get?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just
hope you were spoiled.
I spend most of the day on my birthday replying to messages and saying thank you. But I mean, we mustn't be spoiled. If people care enough to send you a message, that's a very nice thing.
It is very nice.
So, Doc, let's just talk a little bit because this morning Leanne has something she wants to talk to you about. And it may be something that, again, many of us can identify with or that we're going through. And part of the reason we do this isn't just to solve the problem for the person who's bringing it to you. We did that the week before and the week before that. And some of these stories are really interesting, but it's also because sometimes we have similar things going on in our own lives. And if you can, you know, talk to Leanne about her issue today, you may be able to help those of us who are going through something similar. Leanne, do you want to pick it up here?
Oh, is that my cue?
Go for it.
So much pressure.
She's sitting there going, I wonder when he'll stop talking so I can talk. Dr. Hanan, as we were saying, when people don't concentrate and they're just sitting there like a lummox, should we use electroshock therapy to get them back into their, you know?
It looked like a Wi-Fi connection issue for about 3 seconds.
Yeah, that's what it feels like in my head sometimes, I'm telling you. So some background. I've always been pretty open about mental health issues. I think it's definitely can help other people along the way. And I know I've received feedback from a lot of people saying, thank you for your honesty. It's helped me. So some background, I have severe depression and anxiety. I've been medicated for almost 25 years now. and treated on top of that using cognitive behavioral therapy methods, CBT, that you see a psychologist for. I've been on and off. I was diagnosed with debilitating ADHD 5 years ago. I struggled for a long time to find suitable medication for that until recently a new drug came out, and it's been life-changing. It's been literally the last 2 months. I feel like a different person. So got the meds, got a great psychiatrist. I have intermittent CBT therapy when I can afford it. But that all only kind of goes so far. And the thing that I battle with the most is the ability to process emotion. Very sensitive to criticism. Even when I'm not being criticized, I carry this continuous feeling of sort of guilt and shame, with the feeling that I'm not enough, that I'm doing something wrong, or I'm disappointing the people I love. I feel often like I'm a burden, that I'm incompetent. And I have a feeling that because those around me are aware of my sensitivity, that they aren't being completely honest with me or truthful about the perceived fact that I'm a failure, which is, you know, I know a lot of it must be in my head. I'm a very natural empath. I feel others' pain. And although that might seem enviable by some people, I'm unable to process that pain. So, for instance, if I watch a wildlife program and an animal dies, I'm going to end up crying about it. Sometimes I'll even have a panic attack about it. I mean, I'd love to be that person who just says, you know, fuck people and what they think of me. And I know what that feels like because I was once that person. And now things have changed, and something like a breakup of a serious relationship will take me like 5 years to process. And that emotional pain that I carry is sometimes manifested physically, to the point that I can end up being in some kind of physical pain in some form or another. And what I really want to know is CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, the right path to follow for me? Is it something that you use, Dr. Hanan? Is there something else that I can use to improve this disability to process emotions? That's really what I wanted to know today.
Okay. So there are multiple and many, many, many methods to treating somebody, taking them from point A to point B. The first question that I want to ask you, Leanne, is what do you want? In other words, if you had the ideal life, so you've come to a therapist and you've explained this to a therapist, and the therapist says, well, what do you want? What is our point B? Now you're at point A. What does point B look like for you and to you? What would you say?
I would say to rid myself of this feeling of inadequacy. And I do feel that it sometimes makes me a burden to others. And I don't want other people for me to depend on other people. So perhaps I would say a feeling of emotional freedom and independence.
And if that's what you wanted, how badly do you want that? I mean, are you prepared to do whatever it takes to get there? Because the reason why I'm asking, just a little bit of context, many people go, well, I want to have my dream body. I want to be in a dream relationship. I want to be in a dream mental health condition. But when you ask them, what are you prepared to sacrifice? In theory, they would say everything. But in practice, well, mm-hmm. I'm not really prepared to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go for my morning walk. I'm not really prepared to look after myself in order to be the best partner for a potential partner. I'm not really prepared to do all the necessary things in order to get myself into the right mental state. So in theory, we all want what we want, but my question is, how much are you willing to sacrifice to get there?
It's interesting you say that, because it's so true how, you know, professionals will seem to have the answer. Well, you need to do yoga. Well, you need to have a routine. You need to do this. And I say, yes, I know, and I never do it. Also a bit of a symptom of the ADHD. I want to do these things, but I sometimes find them difficult to do. So So I guess what I'm saying is I don't really trust in myself that I will do what I need to do. I don't believe that I will.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So let me start by saying, first of all, so a couple of things. My favorite term to use, and I've used this many times, probably daily on in my practice, and I've used it on the show as well, is the term frameworks and blueprints. Frameworks and blueprints. I'm a big fan of that because and the analogy that I've given you before, or I've given on the show before, is, Leanne, if I give you a 1,000-piece puzzle, what's your first step?
Turn the pieces over to face the right way and then start on the corners and borders.
Lovely. And if I give you 2,000 pieces?
Same thing.
And 10,000 pieces? Same. The framework stays the same.
Yeah.
And it's a framework, Leanne, that makes you feel in control. And it's a framework that allows you to remain in control. Emotionally, you're in control because you have a framework. People think resiliency is my internal ability to manage life. People think resiliency is about intellect or creativity. Resiliency has got nothing to do with that. Resiliency is all about, do I have a framework that's more robust than the problem? Because the moment I have a framework, a blueprint, a method, a game plan, a system that's more robust than the problem, then I'm always in control. So that's why you get people that have 1,000 pieces in front of them and they feel in control, while somebody else has 10 pieces in front of them and they're falling apart. You can have somebody running a company with 1,000 employees and they're in control. You can have a company that's running a person that's running a company with one employee and they're falling apart. Because resiliency has got nothing to do with the pieces that are in front of you. It's got to do with your framework, with the game plan, with the method, with the system that needs to be more robust than the problem. Now, people will go, well, Hanan, are you then blaming the framework as opposed to blaming the person? Are you then not abdicating responsibility? And the answer, it's the opposite. The people that blame themselves, and hear me out, this is important, the people that blame themselves are playing victim and abdicating responsibility. Mm-hmm. Okay, no, I'm not behaving this way because I've got severe ADHD. Oh, no, I'm not doing this because I've got anxiety. Oh, no, I can't do that because I've got depression. Oh, no, I can't do that because my grandma had a particular disorder that, and I have the same thing. That's not abdicating responsibility because you're making excuses for why you cannot do A, B, and C. But the moment you understand that your framework is not adequate enough to manage the puzzle pieces that are in front of you, now it's your responsibility to go and fix the framework. The only reason why you're not behaving with discipline, and we can double click on that, the only reason why you're not behaving with discipline has got nothing to do with your ADHD. The only reason why you're not behaving with discipline has got nothing to do with your depression or anxiety. The only reason why you're not behaving with discipline is because your framework is not adequate. The framework is not taking your personality into account and your character traits and your temperament, as well as the puzzle pieces that are in front of you. The puzzle pieces that are in front of you are more robust and complicated than your framework. And the next question that you got to ask yourself is, okay, well, how do I design the right framework? Perfect. Now that's the right question. And CBT can offer it, and many other therapies can offer it, especially if you go to the right person that understands and works with your temperament, not with the generic, system, but with your temperament. So let's just veer off a little bit. You know, I've said this before. If you take a Ferrari, and you put the Ferrari on the off-road track, make it race on the off-road track, well, it's going to fall apart. If you take a Ferrari and put it on the racetrack, well, it's going to flourish. We've got to work with who you are, with your temperament. So, yes, you're just a Ferrari and somebody else is, I don't know, a train, and another person's a bus, another person's an airplane, another person. People are different. And we've got to design a framework that works specifically for you. So the first thing that I want you to do is ask yourself, what is my framework? And a framework, by the way, does something really, really special. Apart from making you more efficient, think about this. So imagine trying to build a house with a framework or a blueprint. Imagine trying to build a house without a blueprint. Imagine trying to go to the gym with a plan. Imagine going to the gym without a plan. Imagine running a business with a framework. Imagine trying to run a business without a game plan. A framework makes you more efficient. But very important, a framework also makes you behave irrespective of how you feel. So I'll give you a quick analogy, and I know we're running out of time, and we'll catch up on this, or we'll follow up with this in further conversation. But two people need to go to the gym. Person A has got a framework. Monday, I've got a personal trainer, pay them 6 weeks in advance. I'm going between 4 and 4:30 in the afternoon. Tuesday, friends coming, knocking on my door. We're going for a walk, a 5 kilometer walk. We'll try doing it in 30 minutes. Wednesday, blah, blah. I've got a framework. Person B, they're going to wing it. That's their framework. I'll just do it. If they both wake up on Monday morning and both don't feel like doing it, who's going to go? The one with the blueprint, the one with the framework. It's the framework, it's the blueprint, it's the method that makes you behave irrespective of how you feel. And what we are going to be working on, and we'll do it in subsequent conversations, Leanne, and working on a framework that works specifically with your temperament. Because when you have the right framework, you're going to behave with discipline and routine and structure and aim your energy towards creating meaning and purpose, whether you want to or not. The beautiful thing about a framework is whether you get it to the gym, and I'll use an analogy quickly. The beautiful thing is whether you get on the treadmill because you want to, or you get on the treadmill because you have to, 6 weeks later, the results are exactly the same. 6 weeks later, the that's results so are exactly true. The same. And when you do it, and six weeks later, then now you feel like doing it.
That's very exciting to hear that. To have a plan is something that I really crave and want and desire. That feels like that's what I need. I feel like I need structure, routine, something to follow. Someone needs to actually just tell me what to do, and then I'll eventually end up enjoying it.
Brilliant. I can't wait to show you the kind of structure and the routine and the plan and the framework and the game plan and the system that will get you from point A to point B. It's possible.
That's awesome. Thank you, Dr. Hanan.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, Mash, you and I were listening to this as were, you know, lots of other people. And there are plenty of people here who can identify, again, with what you were saying, Nian. I mean, Jake says so relatable. Hugh Subanda says the same thing. So, yeah, Doc, I suppose that's also, you know, whether you like or whether you want to do something or whether you have to do something, just get on and do it.
Yeah,
sure.
And it's not as if you're not disciplined, Leanne, when it comes to things you have to do. I mean, you'll work, you'll stay up, you won't sleep, you'll do everything you have to do if it's stuff you have to do as part of your job, right?
No, you're right.
So
yeah, you're right. I just need to take it from working overnight to working within normal
framework.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So it's not like you lack discipline. You know, like with certain things, you're very disciplined. But maybe we got to translate it into other areas of your life that give you a greater sense of purpose.
All right. Brilliant. Awesome. Well, Doc, you've left us with lots to think about. And obviously, Leanne's going to need to go step by step through this. So we may pick it up in a future episode too. But you have an excellent day this last couple of days of August. And we will speak to you next week.
Thank you. Nice to see you guys. Have a beautiful week.
There we go. That's Dr. Hanan Bushkin. It is just after 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com, and we will be back in a moment or two with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. Cliffcentral.com.